Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them, where we deliberately scuttle a situation to provoke the child to do something or say something in accordance with a planned goal or target. Hopefully, this will help you follow our discussion in this episode better when you hear us refer to the AV technique, sabotage. For some children who are deaf or hard of hearing, the journey to optimal amplification can be a bumpy one, despite early fitting of hearing aids or early implantation. Health, audiological management, and effective therapy play a crucial role. At times like this, it is critical to stay positive and proactive, as have this lovely couple who are a part of my face-to-face practice here in London. So it is an absolute delight to welcome you to this show and thank you for your resilience and positivity.
Thank you so much.
Let's begin.
The new concepts that we've learned and the new way of speaking have given our daughter a new sense of using language in terms of listening. And also, even though we are saying the same old sentences, but because we are much conscious in how we say it, it's giving her much more opportunities and options on how to understand it and also how to pronounce it. So, for example, on and under this week, we have never heard our daughter pronounce under close to the actual sound. But yesterday, she said something very close to under. And I think
how fantastic.
Which is really.
I mean, she has never said under, even close to under. It sounds like, what did she used to say?
Something else.
It was something else.
But that's brilliant that she's doing it. Yeah. So tell me, what did you do when she did that?
We were clacking and jumping.
Exactly.
Jumping out of the plane, yes. So we do a lot of celebration. It's very celebratory.
Exactly.
That was really good. Thank you.
Spot on. That's spot on. Because what we need to do is there needs to be immediate and abundant praise.
Yeah. That's true. You did tell us.
Yes. You. Why? Why?
You said that it's because when she gets, then she, it kind of clicks in her mind that that's what they want me to do. And then she does it more. So I remember you did say that right at the beginning, that just be very, 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 you know,
exuberant.
Enthusiastic. When it comes to this, because she
needs to make the connection with the sound of what she said as being the correct pattern. She needs to make that connection so that when she needs to recall it the next time she needs to use it or say it, it's imprinted in her auditory memory.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, there was a lot of what you said that I want to pick apart because I think that it was very deep what you said. So what has changed in the way you're using things? Using language.
So we are much more, I think the key here is planning for us.
Yeah, giving us the plan.
So we are much more aware that before we do anything, there should be a sort of understanding of how to utilize maybe a specific word in what we do. So the word becomes, I would say, becomes physical in this sense that you are aware of what you need to do to ensure you understand the true meaning of that word. So you are adding other examples of, for example, if we are learning apple, the apple is not just an apple or a picture. If you go and buy an apple, you talk about, do you want an apple? So it's using so many different concepts, which makes it real to her. It becomes very physical. It becomes
more than physical. I think that's what you're trying to say. It's something that's demonstrable.
Demonstrable. Yes. 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 Yeah? Yes.
And the trick is that is to make it both meaningful as well as natural. I would say to make it natural and therefore meaningful. When it is natural, it becomes meaningful to her situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's take something from this week's plan.
Sure.
That you might have questions about or in talking about how to keep it natural and therefore meaningful. So now that we're going to be talking about parts of the house by name and referring to them by name, I have a question, and that is why do you think that you haven't referred to, say, her brother's room as her brother's room?
So not her brother's room, correct? But we definitely said things like, let's go to the kitchen or let's go to the bathroom. But for some reason,
Your room? Our room? Do you refer to your room at all?
Most of the time we focus on describing what we wanted to get in the room. So can you go upstairs?
Can you go upstairs? Yeah.
Get your bag, school bag. So we haven't really focused on.
I wanted you to think a little deeper about why, because I'm going somewhere with it.
Yes.
So, and I'm just taking that as an example, but there could be other examples of things that you haven't, that you've been steering away from using.
Maybe it's too descriptive. Maybe you think it's too hard. How does it work?
Descriptive.
Because you think it's too hard.
Yeah. Too hard, isn't it?
We focus on.
So who's going to decide whether something is too hard?
Our daughter.
And
yeah.
The child.
Yes.
And this is a big point. And I mean, you know, it happens with all of us as parents.
Yeah.
Right? We decide what we're going to give them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So why can't we decide what we're going to give them to think about or to talk about or to discuss? But the point is that things that we think are difficult.
Yes.
Okay. May well not be so difficult when. Can you finish that sentence for me?
When we give them an opportunity, I guess.
Yes.
Or-
And when we use it meaningfully in context, in contexts that are meaningful to the child.
Yes.
So when would this be applicable? So suppose you're playing with something that she really loves to play with. I would say use sabotage and put it, if suppose she wants to paint or she wants to color and her crayons or her paper supply or whatever.
Okay,
so it's not in the usual place, and you just tell her, go get your art supplies or go get your paper. And obviously, she'll go to the usual place and it's not there. Yeah. She'll come back and say, it's not there. She'll say, really? Where did you go? Let's go to your room. Come, let's go together. So you're reinforcing that. Let's go to your room. And you go together and you're looking, where is your paper? You're right. I don't see any paper. Let me think. Maybe it's in our room, whichever room you're trying to emphasize, right? And then by default, okay, she goes into another room and it's not there, and she goes into another room and it's not there. But when she finds it, she is going to remember the name of that room because she wants those supplies to do her artwork. So the next time, make sure that it is in that place till she understands that room. And then, of course, you change it. Because what my guidance always is, as soon as a child learns something, it's time to change. It's time to change the way you say it. You know, use a synonym or just change the location of where it is.
Yeah.
It's that newness that keeps my mind active and makes me alert and want to listen. If nothing is changing in my environment, if nothing is changing in my environment, why do I need to listen? Because everything is the way it is. Right? Yeah. Every life is just so predictable, right? I don't need to listen. It's because everything is in a pattern before my eyes.
So there's no point talking about it, but if it's change or in a different location, then you are much more to talk about it. This is change.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it's to communicate. When I don't have a need to communicate, A, I don't need to listen, and B, I don't want to talk because I don't need to talk. It doesn't get me anywhere. So then again, we're doing that full loop of things being natural and meaningful. And in this example of looking for art supplies, it is natural. That situation comes up and it is very meaningful because she can't find what she really wants. And that is the crux of spoken communication. If we understand that, right, then the pace at which our child learns spoken communication is unstoppable.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Really, really good. Really, really good.
Yeah?
Yes. The pace at which you will learn knows true.
Yeah.
And once again, yep. Who decides? Who sets the pace?
Our daughter.
But to a certain extent, we do too.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you think we do that?
I think also it's about, in this particular situation, it's about time. So we do set the pace in terms of how much time we dedicate to it. But I think now we realize, and I think after the first session when she came, isn't it, that therapy is ongoing. So we're able to achieve so much more rather than just have it as just the set time when we do therapy and then everything else is not therapy. But now we know we could do hours of therapy in a day because we are doing it through the day. It's implemented throughout.
So I would say that auditory verbal therapy is about being in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and of course, cognitively, and then verbally.
Yeah.
Of just being on point all the time. And initially, that is exhausting.
Yes.
But are you finding that it's less tiring now?
Yes.
Yes.
We are. Yeah.
Why? Why is it?
I think it was myself. I used to get very anxious about how much time we were spending on it in terms of not spending enough time. I thought it was all because we just wasn't spending, you know, we would do hours, you know, on blocked. It was like a learning, you know, let's sit down, let's do therapy, let's sit down. And I would always feel at the end of the day that we just haven't done enough. We just, you know, we could do 5 hours in a day, 10 hours in a day, and still feel like it's not enough. We need to be doing more and more and more and more. And you kind of get into this pattern of always feeling like you're just not doing enough. But now, as we do it through the day, as well as have the sessions, we're using every opportunity. So then you feel like you've done, there's more of a...
I think it's more incorporated in our daily life.
Yeah.
So it becomes easier to do it.
But why? You're exactly right, but why?
Because now language is more visible to us. It's more understanding
to her, as well.
To her. But also the sense of achievement, because she is learning language in real life terms instead of it being so...
Sit down, let's do that.
But also because, as you say, because with auditory verbal therapy, it's become a way of life. It's become a habit.
Yes.
It's become a habit for you.
Yeah.
And it's become a habit for her.
Yes.
The habit for you is to be in the moment. And the habit for her is to be wanting to listen and therefore be more alert, more attentive.
Yes.
Therefore, understanding more and therefore more participative. Right?
Yeah.
So then there's more than enough time because, as you said, it's ongoing. I'm saying it's in the moment, but there are so many moments that we are discussing or we are approaching any concept, any vocabulary from like a 360 degree perspective.
Yeah.
So the cumulative effect is way, way, way more than if we did those 5 hours of sit down and listen.
That's
the beauty of it. That's the beauty. And it takes a little bit of practice, but after a while, because it makes so much sense and because it's natural, it's actually much easier.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I think you're sounding like it is. It's far more liberating.
It is definitely.
Yeah.
Because we can now physically see the results.
Yeah.
And it's not just, did she say that?
Yeah.
It actually, not what she's saying, but the understanding of the word and the implementation of it makes it much more liberating and exciting, to be honest.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
I think it is. When we get the plan, you know, we're looking forward to it because we know how we can implement it, and it becomes like an exciting challenge in a way. You say,
so because it's fun. It's fun. Being with your child is fun.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
You know, and therefore learning for her is fun. Because you are bringing, because you are bringing that element of fun into every interaction. Even when she's being annoying, even when she's, you know, it's a difficult day, even when you're exhausted and it's like, just go to bed.
That's true.
Very true.
It's fun. And that's, what greater joy than that to be able to enjoy your children?
Yes. It's true. Very true.
What it's about. That's what all physical therapy is about. That's what being a parent is about, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. You learned so much. So much. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you, because you're really getting it together admirably.
It's been amazing. It's been an eye opener.
Yeah. For such a thought.
For us, to be honest.
Why is it an eye opener?
It's what we were exposed to in the past seemed like there's a mountain to climb, but now it's more
doable.
Tangible.
You can
relate with it. You are seeing results.
Yes.
And one thing is she enjoys what she's doing. That's possibly one of the highlights, that she's really enjoys doing therapy. I think it is more fun for her at the moment. Yeah. It's much more fun for her. So she really enjoys it, and it's allowing her to learn even way more.
Also the applicability of it. She can apply it.
Yes.
So I think that makes it enjoyable when she can apply it to her day-to-day life. So
it's a new version. Yeah, a new version of your daughter. Now, coming back to the whole issue of engaging young children.
Yes.
Remember one thing, that if we are observant enough, which you definitely are, we'll find that children are constantly throwing us a bone.
Yes.
Now, it might not be what we expected. It may not be the direction in which we wanted, quote unquote, or we had, quote unquote, decided, because as adults, we love to control. But the point is that if we go with the flow of what the child is wanting to communicate, then there is so much more learning to be achieved. But we also need to be mindful of our target. We're not going to stray so far off target that, oh, you know, it's because you want to talk about it. Let's talk about the wallpaper on the walls rather than something else that I want started out with. We're not going to stray so far off target that we can't come back, because we can always, you know, do a U-turn and bring the discussion back, because our child is staying engaged for longer.
Yeah.
We're not scared of losing her attention. We are becoming more confident in our ability to stay connected to each other using spoken language communication. And that is a big one.
Yes.
That's a really big one. So you will probably find that you're going way beyond my weekly plan, which is brilliant. You are filling in details which I could never do, because I'm not in that moment with you. I'm not living your life in your home. Whereas you are.
Yes.
So make a note of those little things which may not be on plan, but which turned out to be very meaningful. Make a separate note and make sure that you generalize on those as well. And weave those into your, you know, everyday conversation, because then you will find that you have her learning is exponential. It's not it's not on a single track. And B, it's at a level and at a speed. That's completely unpredictable in a nice way. So I think I've given you a lot to chew on, and I think this is a really I think this is a really brilliant breakthrough for both of you.
And so the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your time and interest, and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. I'd like to leave you with just this one thought, and that is, to help yourself get into the stride of the auditory verbal wave, plan on how you will weave your weekly targets into the fabric of your day with your family. With daily practice, this will become a habit, and you will become spontaneous, and you will live in the moment, providing your child with the very enriched language input she needs to listen, learn, talk, and think. You may be wondering, how on earth do I do that? And what do I say? How do I even say it? Well, to help you, the next episode poses the question, are we prejudging our toddler? I really look forward to having you with us in the next episode. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Chef Ali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.